Well, this morning we're going to be focusing on some things that we should be thankful to God for. As we consider Thanksgiving this week coming up, we certainly do want to be thankful to God. So each of these will begin with thanks be to God for His, and then we'll conclude it with eight different things that we want to look at this morning. All of them, interestingly enough, beginning with the letters UG at the beginning of each of those. And unfortunately, so many times when it comes to being thankful and having gratitude toward God, instead of looking at these different things that begin with U and G, as the two words and the phrase begin with U and G, often we just put those two letters together, UG, and we just go, ugh. We don't want to have to be thankful. We don't want to have to be grateful. And that's a sad thing. And when I say we, I certainly hope that's not the case of us here this morning. But as human beings, it certainly is the case that human beings are not grateful to their God as they should be. And many of them don't even acknowledge Him, don't even admit He is God. But it certainly is a sad situation that we face in our world today. As we look at this, we want to think about 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And particularly want to look at verse 15, where Paul is saying thanks to God for His indescribable gift. The King James, of course, says His unspeakable gift. So unspeakable. Now, unspeakable, of course, doesn't mean that we can't speak about it. It doesn't mean it's wrong for us to talk about the gift that God has given us. But it simply means, as other translations translate, it's indescribable. We cannot put enough into words to describe the gift that God sent in the person of Jesus Christ. That Savior that came down to this earth, left heaven, and lived here among us. How can we explain a love so great as that? It's just unimaginable. It's unexplainable to us to describe how could a God care enough about us lowly people that He would send not just anyone. He didn't just grab one of the angels and say, hey, you go. But He sent His own Son to come and die for us. It's unspeakable. The second thing that we want to notice this morning is that we should be thankful to God for His undeserved grace. Now, some would say, of course, grace is automatically something that's undeserved, but certainly there is no way that we could ever deserve any favor from God. The fact that He gives us some favor in the first place is an amazing thing to consider. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 9, Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." When we consider how undeserved that grace is, that God, if He gave each of us what we did deserve, would have struck us all dead long, long ago. We would all already be suffering in the flames if He gave us what we deserve, because all of us, at one point or another in our lives, have turned against Him and done things against Him. We've been rebellious sometimes, or perhaps we've simply been disrespectful. Perhaps we've simply been disobedient. But as His creation, we should have served Him perfectly, and yet we've failed to do that. And so we don't deserve anything from Him except punishment and wrath. And yet, because of His love, because of who He is, not because of who we are, not because of our greatness, but because of His greatness, He has given us this undeserved grace. I want to notice next that we should be give thanks to God for His undeniable goodness. You know, we think about this person's a good person, that person's a good person, but truly, as human beings, we can't really even conceive of what true goodness really is. God is so far above our level of and understanding of what goodness is, that it's difficult for us to comprehend it. Romans 11:22 says, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Of course, part of God's goodness, we talked about His grace a moment ago, but part of His goodness is that there is a limit to His grace. It will only go so far. If we don't remain on His good side, so to speak, in His goodness, as Paul says here in Romans 11, if we don't remain there, if we go away from His goodness, get away from Him and rebel against Him, we will suffer as a result of that. We want to notice also Psalm 52 and verse 1. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. God's goodness continues even though evil will ultimately be done away with. Sometimes it may look, as we look around, the people around us, the world around us, it may look like evil is winning. But evil is only seemingly winning temporarily. Ultimately, it's the goodness of God that is undeniable and that will continue. And then Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" You know, sometimes people repent because of their fear of God, because of His wrath or something of that nature. But Paul tells us that what really should lead us to repent when we've done wrong, what really should lead us to be sorry for our sins when we've mistreated God and abused Him, what really should lead us to turn away from that sin and back to Him isn't His wrath, it isn't our fear of hell that should do that, it's His goodness that should lead us to that. We also need to be thankful to God for His unending generosity. James 1:17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the fathers of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You think about that? Every good gift. That's an amazing thing to think about. Well, I've gotten some good gifts that weren't from God. Well, so-and-so gave me a good gift. Well, if someone gave you a good gift, ultimately, they were able to give you that good gift. They were good enough to give you that good gift because of the goodness of God. Because it came from God through them to you. Even the good gifts that we give one another, ultimately, we're giving on behalf of God. It's coming from God through us when we do good to one another. But all of the good and perfect gifts are from God. And we need to understand, of course, that Satan would never give us anything good. Satan will sometimes trick us with things that look good or sound good or we think would be good. But no, only God presents us with the good and perfect gifts. So we need to consider His generosity, but we also need to consider that we not take advantage of His generosity, not take it for granted, but appreciate it and be thankful to Him for it. We should always give thanks to God for His unparalleled glory. When we think about things that we've seen that are amazing, things that are wonderful, things that we would be so excited about and just so in awe of here on this earth, we need to realize that all of the glory and splendor of anything that we could see here on this earth pales in comparison to the glory of God. There is nothing that is equal to it, nothing that is even similar to it, nothing that we can even say approaches to the glory of God. It is unparalleled. There is nothing like it in the world. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, we see that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. When we think about God's glory, when we look at the amazing things, it always stuns me that anyone, and I guess it stunned the psalmist as well, that anyone could look up into the heavens and see the sun shining in its glory, and look at night and see the stars and the moon and them shining in their glory, or, or see something like a comet shooting across the sky. See any of those kinds of things up in the heavens. Just to see the clouds rolling by or the birds flying in the heavens. See any of those things. And then to say, there's no God. It's a stunning thing to consider. It's amazing that people could look at that, because then the psalmist says, those things, when we look at those things, they should be screaming at us, look how wonderful this is, how much better is God that made it. There's no comparison. God's glory. Revelation 4 and verse 11 tells us, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." As we consider things to be thankful to God for, we can't forget the unimpeachable gospel. There's no way that we could pass, and certainly we're not going to touch on everything that we could be thankful to God for, but this has to be at the top of the list. The good news. You know, it's one thing that God loved us enough to send His Son and give us that gift, but what if He'd never told us about it? Where would we be then? If it weren't for the gospel, if it weren't for the apostles and prophets of the first century who were led by the Holy Spirit to write those things down for us, or to tell those things and pass those things on to us, we wouldn't know about it. And if we didn't know about that unspeakable gift that we talked about earlier, we'd be in bad shape. And so the unimpeachable gospel. You know, there are those, of course, who try to cast aspersions on the gospel, try to say, oh, well, it's just like these other myths that were out there, and it's nothing special and it's nothing new. But when you look at the facts of the case, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and His death and His burial and His resurrection, there is nothing in it that can be impeached. There's nothing in it that can be blamed or can be questioned reasonably. And that seems odd, considering that what we actually have here is a very miraculous event of someone rising from the grave. And yet when we look at it rationally, now some would say, well, rationally you can't have any miracles. Well, rationally just means reasonable and logically. When we look at the events surrounding His resurrection, we look at the story of the gospel. If there was a body, then all that would have had to have happened would have been for them to produce that dead body and said, your Savior isn't risen. Instead, they lied and they said, oh, we fell asleep and His disciples came and stole the body. The disciples were scared to death. They wouldn't have confronted a Roman guard. They were locked away in a room hiding for fear that they would be next. It's amazing when we look at these events that took place around the resurrection of Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." But that's not all. Paul explains the gospel to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." See, they weren't ashamed of it. They weren't afraid of it. They proclaimed it, and they challenged anyone to show that it wasn't true. And no one could show that it wasn't true. It was and is the unimpeachable gospel. Now let's sing about that story of Jesus. Thanks be to God for His untiring guidance. You know, if for those of you who've ever had children, you know that sometimes it can be tiring when you're trying to teach them and lead them and raise them, and there's a lot that goes into that, and it can wear you out. And especially any who've had to deal with rebellious children, you know how hard a task that is. And when we think about the fact that God has had to deal with innumerable rebellious children throughout the ages, you'd think He'd be worn out from it. But it's a good thing that God is all-powerful and almighty, and He doesn't get tired. Because if it was one of us, we would have given up a long time ago, wouldn't we? We would have just said, forget it, I can't do it. But God didn't do that. Instead, He has continued to give us His untiring guidance throughout the history of mankind, and continues through His Scriptures to give us that guidance, and will continue until the end of time. And as we think about that, if we consider what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, and certainly he said a lot in Psalm 119, many, many verses there, but in verses 104 and 105, he says, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's given us His word. He's given us that untiring guidance. And I guess that's one good thing about writing it down. You know, you get tired of repeating the same things over and over again, whether it be in an occupation where you're in a leadership position, and you're having to tell people over and over again the same things, that they do this, do it this way, why are you keep going a different way? This is what we're supposed to be doing. Whether it be the parenting thing, whether it be in a religious setting where we're trying to get, we get frustrated with it. Boy, if we could just write it down and have that be good enough. Well, God wrote it down. And so we have His untiring guidance through His Word, but also He continues to guide our lives through His providence as well. He continues to present us with opportunities that we can take. He has us tested at times. He allows us to be tempted, but never beyond what we're able to bear, and always provides that way of escape, trying always to guide us, to direct us closer to Him, closer to heaven as we go along. Let's consider, as we sing, some of the ways that He has guided us. Let's be thankful to God for His unsurpassed guarantee. You know, there are a lot of guarantees you get in this world. I always love those guarantees. Limited lifetime warranty. Limited lifetime guarantee. And whenever it actually goes wrong and it tears up and you call to check on that, whatever was wrong with yours was part of the limited part. And it wasn't guaranteed after all. There are so many guarantees that just aren't really guarantees. But not God's. God's guarantee is unsurpassed. He will never fail. He will never renege on His promises. He will never go back on His word. His guarantee is truly unsurpassed. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, one of the guarantees that He gives us, and certainly there are a lot of guarantees we could consider, but here is one. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. That's a guarantee. If we'll do our part, He will do His part. No ifs, ands, and buts about it on His side. He's going to do what He said He'd do. No excuses, no changes. One of my favorites that I always see when you're signing up for something, and it says, this agreement can be changed without notice. And I think, well, then what's the point of an agreement? If you can just change it anytime you want to and not even tell me you're going to change it, you just changed it, what's the point in having an agreement in the first place? But God will never do that to us. His agreement will stand. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, He gives some comfort to one of the churches that was suffering some difficulties. He says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let's consider some of those guarantees that God has given us. As we've considered these things that we should be thankful to God for, Are you thankful for His unspeakable gift, for His undeserved grace, for His undeniable goodness, His unending generosity, His unparalleled glory, the unimpeachable gospel, His untiring guidance, and His unsurpassed guarantee? Have you been showing the kind of gratitude in your life that He expects and even demands of us? He warns that those who are unthankful will not please Him. I hope that each and every one of us here this morning can say that we have been thankful to God as we should. But perhaps you're here this morning and you have not been thankful as you should have been. As we consider our lives while we sing this invitation song that we're about to sing, I hope that you will consider all of the things that we should be thankful to God for. And if you've not been thankful to God as you should have been, won't you come and respond to His invitation, confessing your ingratitude for all of His great blessings and gifts that He's given, and turn your life around and determine that you will be grateful. If you are not a Christian this morning, if you have not taken advantage of that unimpeachable gospel and His goodness and that unspeakable gift that He gave, and you are not only not grateful to Him, but not even accepting of the gifts He has offered, you can do that this morning if you'll repent of your sin and turn to Him, confessing Jesus as the Christ based on your belief in Him as the Son of God, and be willing to be immersed in water, simulating His burial so that your sins can be washed away. If you need to respond at this time for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.